1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden today to begin offering pardons to thousands of military veterans who were booted out of the service for being gay.
For more than a half century, from the early 1950s, it was illegal to be gay in the military. U.S. court-martialed and convicted thousands for what President Biden says was simply being themselves. Mr. Biden now pardoning those convictions, which will help those veterans finally receive benefits they deserve. The pardon does not automatically wipe away convictions. Those veterans must still apply through a military approval process.
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. Oklahoma's Supreme Court put the kibosh on what would have been the nation's first religious school, paid for by the taxpayers' dime. This could eventually reach the U.S. Supreme Court. Central Oklahoma was strafed by severe weather overnight. No word of tornadoes, but 50,000 homes and businesses don't have electric power. This is ABC News. The judge in Donald Trump's hush money trial modified the gag order he's under.
The move comes nearly a month after the hush money trial ended with a guilty verdict on all 34 counts. The new order keeps Trump from speaking about members of the team that prosecuted him and the individual jurors who convicted him. But Judge Juan Merchan says Trump can now talk about witnesses who testified in the case and generally about the jury. Trump's attorneys argued their client needed that freedom to be able to fully respond to President Biden in Thursday's debate.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The music industry going after artificial intelligence.
A lot of creators accuse generative AI companies of hiding how much they're taking off the internet and using to train their models. The music industry says enough. Universal Music Group, Sony Music Entertainment, and Warner Records have all teamed up, filing a lawsuit against Suneo and Udio, accusing those companies of scraping copyrighted music without letting artists know and without paying for it.
ABC Sherry Preston, Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there. Sunny and 75. Almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us in the 11 o'clock hour. We're to talk about all the ramifications 2 years after Dobbs. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We may catch an isolated sprinkle at some point this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy to mostly sunny. Our high 76, wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine 74 on Friday. Scattered thunderstorms with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Peter Jest, author of the book We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll also talk about a summer blockbuster with the help of the late comedian Richard Jenny.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Sunny skies. Daytime highs today expected to be right around 81. Tonight, clear, down to 56. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs near 75. Friday, maybe a little bit more rain back in the forecast, but I'll let Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, bring you those details in about 15 minutes. We've also got details from the Sand County Foundation's National Convention. It was in Madison. One of their guest speakers was Terry Cosby. He is the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service. And when you see these naturally occurring weather-related events, wildfires or the flooding that's now plaguing the upper Midwest, I bet you didn't realize Natural Resource Conservation Service, some of the first people on scene. We're going to learn a little bit more about that process. Stick around.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Lely Center Monroe is hosting an open house on June 26th in Blanchardville at Farron Grunenfelder's Farm. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., attendees will see Lely milking robots and the Lely Juno feed pusher in action. They will also be treated to a free lunch and gelato provided by Lucky Cow and will be entered to win a Lely Luna Cow brush. So make plans to attend the Lely Center Monroe open house in Blanchardville on June 26th. Full details on Facebook at Lely Center Monroe.
42 acres just outside of Madison in the community of Prairie du Sac are about to morph into a new state-of-the-art U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke, and I had a chance to be on hand for the groundbreaking ceremony for this state-of-the-art facility that will have robotic milking systems, chambers for measuring greenhouse gas emissions, advanced animal nutrition units, and a state-of-the-art laboratory for both agronomy and dairy science. Oh, plus a visitor center. And overseeing it all, Dr. Dennis Hancock, director of the Ag Research Service U.S. Dairy Forage Research Center. Any project you're going to do involving the federal government is going to take time, money, and apparently paperwork. Hancock tells me they had more than 13,000 pages of documentation in their original proposal.
Well, that's when we stopped counting. I think there was many, many more than that. I think that was about the 95% design, and then once we get to the 100% design and getting ready for the bid package now, it's ballooned even bigger than that. But it's a huge undertaking. It's 18 buildings and on a campus that's about 42 acres in size. So it's a major undertaking, especially for a federal building.
Well, and this started before you ever showed up, Dennis. Give me a little historical perspective.
Yeah, indeed it did. The first appropriation actually was back in 2018 for the FY19 budget. And that was when Senator Cole was actually helping to spur this on. And actually, if you go back even further than that, the initial phase in 2011, we got fairly far along, and unfortunately, funds had to go back to headquarters at that point because of budget cuts. Mm. And so we had to scrap the plan at that point. And then we restarted in 2019, whenever we got the new funds to come in. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming. And a lot of folks have worked on this project over the years, and I'm glad to get to represent them.
When a project drags like this, as it will, new ideas come up, new technologies change. Tell me how the group is flexed and incorporated or cut some of those thoughts.
Well, one of the biggest differences is the evolution of the automated milking systems, the robots. And that has been much more integral in the latest design or the newest design than it was in the previous design.
Yeah.
Another has been in much more focus on greenhouse gas emissions and methane and trying to deal with those types of challenges in the dairy industry, as well as looking at nutrient management and having systems in which we can completely encapsulate and capture all of the nutrients coming from that animal, as well as all the gases coming from that animal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a major change from some of the previous designs. And that's really required a lot of rethink, a lot of redesign on just about every part of the facility.
You mentioned 18 different buildings. Give me a little bit of a breakdown, the flow, the interaction between buildings per se.
Sure. So they actually are all, for the most part, they're all connected. All of the animal facilities, anyway, are connected. The largest barn will be our robot barn. We'll have four AMS systems there, 60 cows each, so 240 cows, and that would be our base population, but we'll actually be doing some research with those cows as well. And then we have our conventional freestalls that will be pens of eight cows. We'll have 20 of those. 16 will be for Holsteins, and four of those will be sized for Jerseys. So we have a small Jersey herd as well. And then we'll have conventional tie stalls where we will be able to do some more intensive types of research. And then we have our chambers where we can have four cows at a time in individual cow chambers and capture every molecule of gas that comes off of that animal we'll be able to measure. So we're really excited about that technology as well.
Is this duplicated anywhere?
Bits and pieces are in other places, but nothing like this in one spot. And within Wisconsin, this is the only robotic research facility, with exception of they have one at Platteville. But this is a bit bigger, and we're actually collaborating with some of our colleagues down at Platteville as well. So we have a lot of collaborations with UW-Madison as well as Platteville. And we're really excited about the opportunities this brings across the country to do this kind of research in collaboration with others.
I heard the phrase holistic. It's cutting edge, first time a holistic system has been put together. Give me your definition of that, Dennis.
Well, from our perspective, we call it from crop to plop. And really, it even goes back further than that. We capture everything from the soil and the microorganisms in the soil and the nutrition of the soil through the forage physiology, the animal physiology, the digestion dynamics, through the manure system, through capturing and reapplying all those nutrients, and then tracking the fate of those nutrients as they go into our water systems, our surface and groundwater systems, and even pathogens. So we have folks that look at pathogen flows and some of the challenges associated with pathogens from manure. So we try to cover as holistically as we can from the entire cycle of the dairy enterprise.
That's a lot of disciplines all coming together in one area. Give me a sense of the people power you expect.
Yeah, that's extremely challenging because we do have limited resources. We have 27 scientists, 110 FTE altogether on the ARS side, USDA side. Then we additionally have our UW partners have about 29 employees here at Prairie du Sac, another, I think it's eight or nine employees in Marshfield. So we have a sizable team, and it's really important that collaboration that we have between ARS and UW as well.
Well, now we talked about the 18 buildings per se. What about crop acres, Dennis? Give us a sense of the entire footprint.
Sure. So we have the land that we have here as part of the Badger is approximately 2,000 acres. However, only about 1,200 of those are croppable acres, arable acres. So all of that production is being utilized. Now, we're very conservative on our feed because we are a research dairy. It's different than a normal dairy. And for the size of acreage, we would be much larger as a conventional dairy. But we're going to be milking 360 cows. So that's sized right for the type of research that we're conducting. Obviously, a person who's really looking at profit would be in a much different model than what we do. But our currency, if you will, is information, publications, and getting data out that really informs the dairy producer on their day-to-day operations.
There's a lot of education, though, for the general public. This one's going to have, as I understand it, a visitor's center.
Yeah, we're really excited about that opportunity. I think this is going to be the first of many events that we're going to have. And if you go back in time with the old dairy, we used to have a lot of visits and a lot of open houses and that types of thing. You know, biosecurity is always going to be an issue, but we can get around that. But we certainly are excited about some of the design changes that are going to allow us to have a visitor center here.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about the far-reaching effects of this and the fact that you are USDA. We break ground today. What's going to happen next? You already alluded to the bidding process.
Yeah, that's the challenge of working with the federal government. Some things go at a glacial speed. So it should go out to bid next month. If everything goes as planned, it should go out to bid next month. We expect an award to be made sometime late fall or early winter, and anticipate ground actually being broken and the site preparation beginning next calendar year. So they tell us it'll be a 30-month build. That's what the design says. I have a little bit of an X factor that I always add to federal construction projects. So usually 36 to 40 months is what I'm pegging it out. So right around the end of 2027 is what we're shooting for.
Now, how do you keep the wheels on in the existing facility? People have to understand, you have other responsibilities that are ongoing aside from this big new baby.
Oh, yes. We have constantly are operating the existing dairy. We have a great team that pays attention to all the facilities and helps to cobble things together sometimes when we have to. But we also are dedicated to putting funds to especially animal care and well-being and anything that really improves the life of the animal as well as production, of course, as well.
Dr. Dennis Hancock there. He is the director of the Ag Research Service U.S. Dairy Forage Research Center in Prairie du Sac, with a new state-of-the-art facility on the way that should be finished by sometime 2027. As for the existing U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility and its dairy cows, he says not much of that will move to the new facility. It will stand alone. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Todd Albaugh.
Big show coming up. We have Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, Matt Flynn is in talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, and General David May for the Wisconsin National Guard. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
For that 4th of July picnic and found out the total cost for that cookout, $66.38. That's for a total of feeding 10 people. Now, surprisingly, that's down about a half a percentage point from last year's state average. If you break it down plate by plate. The cost of the summer cookout is less than $7 per person. Now, one of the reasons why I bring this up is I think it's important to take a look at costs in Wisconsin versus costs in other regions. For example, the American Farm Bureau Federation found the people on the West Coast, California specifically, paying $80.88 for the same food, basically. What is driving up the cost there? Well, California regulations. That's according to Brent Nelson from the American Farm Bureau Federation. He's their economist. He said, finally, consumers and hopefully elected officials are starting to see the cost of all these escalated regulations. For example, Proposition 12 has increased the cost of an average pork chop by 30%. So obviously that's going to mean people are curtailing what they're putting in their picnic basket out there. But again, like we said, in Wisconsin, price for your 4th of July picnic coming in less than $7 per person. To feed six, that means you're spending about $66.38. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us now on a Compere Financial Ag Weather Wednesday. That sound about right? You're going to have 10 of your buddies?
I'm going to throw that average all off.
Well, you don't limit yourself to just little bitty things like hot dogs.
No, we were talking steak, so, you know, that's...
come on, man. Even your pockets can't go that deep for steaks for more than the family.
Well, that's it. I'm not feeding six people.
Yeah. I hear you. You know, regardless, I just do hope that there's at least a pause. Just stop and recognize how those regulations in California specifically are really hamstringing a lot of consumers and the choices they've got. We'll wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't spread.
Yeah, true. I'm happy to see the weather forecast I've got in front of me this morning, buddy.
Yeah, drier, but you know, there's even a little rain out there this morning. I mean, really not amounting to a whole lot, kind of scattering into southwestern Wisconsin, over along the Lake Michigan shore as well, down toward Oostburger, Cedar Grove, and a little rainfall out in parts of southeastern Minnesota, trying to build into western Wisconsin near Hudson. Not going to amount to much. Very scattered showers early this morning. And for most of us, just a few clouds, a nice start, some sunshine, comfortable temperatures, maybe just a little bit cooler than normal. A great Wednesday, a nice break, another fine day in store for Thursday. But the next system is going to build in from the Rockies, expected to head toward Nebraska or South Dakota. Unfortunately, I have to talk of some rain chance. Western Wisconsin could see it later Thursday night. The rest of us seeing a chance of a little rain for Friday and Friday night. I'll have forecast details in just a bit.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compere Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compere.com today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, buddy, aside from those showers this morning, overall it looks like this is going to be a pretty decent Wednesday.
Yeah, and a couple of nice days in store. The Compere Financial Ag Weather Update, including that little scattered rain, call it about the southern half of the state. And otherwise today, partly sunny, even more sun in the west, as the temperatures will be in the upper 70s or around 80, and winds out of the northwest 5 to 10. Partly cloudy overnight, mid-50s, a few low 50s here and there. North winds becoming east, pretty light, mostly sunny Thursday, a beautiful day. Mid and upper 70s with east winds at 5, but late Thursday, a little rain in the northwest. A chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm building in for Friday with more clouds. Low and mid-70s at best, Pam, and I'd say rain amounts. Fingers crossed here, up to a quarter, maybe a half inch in the southern part of the state, and lighter elsewhere.
Ah, kept the emphasis on lighter. I like that. All right, buddy.
Well, we don't need any more.
Gosh, no. For sakes, no. All right, man, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Whether it's agriculture or rural America, you can find all their resources online at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Would it be improper for me to be at the farmer's market in my biker shorts tonight?
Depends.
Because people can wear biker shorts in public.
Sure. Okay. Of course you can. So, are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I got those good thighs. Sometimes I need
to
be released.
You don't worry about, you know.
Unleash the thighs. I've had people tell me that.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden today to begin offering pardons to thousands of military veterans who were booted out of the service for being gay.
For more than a half century, from the early 1950s, it was illegal to be gay in the military. U.S. court-martialed and convicted thousands for what President Biden says was simply being themselves. Mr. Biden now pardoning those convictions, which will help those veterans finally receive benefits they deserve. The pardon does not automatically wipe away convictions. Those veterans must still apply through a military approval process.
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. Oklahoma's Supreme Court put the kibosh on what would have been the nation's first religious school, paid for by the taxpayers' dime. This could eventually reach the U.S. Supreme Court. Central Oklahoma was strafed by severe weather overnight. No word of tornadoes, but 50,000 homes and businesses don't have electric power. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for the Republican National Convention. Peggy Williams-Smith is president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee. She tells the Milwaukee Press Club that hosting the RNC is already paying off beyond July's convention.
We will make an announcement very soon in August of an event that would have never considered Milwaukee without the expansion and knowing that we were hosting the RNC.
More than 50,000 people are expected to come. A ruling by the state Supreme Court on Monday leaves taxpayers to cover half of a $128,000 bill for the services of 2 redistricting experts. The consultants were hired earlier this year by the court to review potential new legislative maps. They said maps drawn by Republicans were gerrymandered, and the legislature passed maps drawn by Governor Evers in February. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks are ready for the draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks general manager John Horst will be on the clock with the 23rd pick in the NBA draft and was asked, will he take a player for the future or one that contributes this season?
Doesn't mean that we wouldn't draft a player that can't really contribute now and really has a big time horizon and a big upside. That's something we'll always look at. But I think those other options in the past have been more attractive to us, and I think we've gotten great benefit out of it, and I think we'll continue to focus on those. And that's really what's going on right now this time of year, is you're just trying to generate as many of those options as you can to evaluate and hopefully make a good decision.
A blockbuster trade, the Knicks sending 5 first-round picks to the Nets for Mikal Bridges. Baseball, the Brewers with a 3-1 win over the Rangers. Joey Ortiz with a solo home run shot. Pat Murphy asked, did he know what he had with Ortiz in spring training?
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know much about the player. You know, when a guy's in the American League, and I've been in the National League for 9 years, I didn't know much about him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We got a whopper of a Wednesday edition with former Congressman Joe Walsh, Bill Press, our buddy, and Charles Franklin, New Marquette Polling.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We may catch an isolated sprinkle at some point this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy to mostly sunny. Our high 76, wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine 74 on Friday. Scattered thunderstorms with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. June 25th is the anniversary of the Supreme Court's infamous Shelby versus Holder decision. It stripped federal oversight of states with a history of discrimination from the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Since then, over 100 restrictive voting bills have been passed by state legislatures. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 passed after decades of state-backed discrimination toward Black Americans simply trying to register and vote. The VRA Section 5 required states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear new voting laws with the U.S. Justice Department to make sure it, quote, neither has the purpose nor will have the effect of denying or abridging the right to vote on the account of race or color. Congress renewed Section 5 in 2006 in an uncontroversial vote. In 2013, a now more conservative U.S. Supreme Court determined, against the fervent objections of democracy and civil rights groups, that Section 5 formula for preclearance was outdated and unconstitutional. It asked Congress to legislate a new formula, which it has not done, resulting in no enforcement. Unfettered anti-voter state legislatures have passed over 100 laws restricting voting in the last decade, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. Fixes in the Freedom to Vote Act and John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act languish in a dysfunctional Congress. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June as Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit which will offer a free online archive. It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
What I see as far as weather is concerned, looks like the heat and humidity going to back off for just a little bit. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on a Wednesday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Daytime highs today expected to be in the low 80s. Partly sunny skies expected after the mid-morning hours. Tomorrow, more of the same. Before we wrap it up on a Wednesday, I want to introduce you to Terry Cosby. He is the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service. He's actually been a part of that agency for more than 40 years. We had a nice conversation yesterday talking in part about what you don't know about the Natural Resource Conservation Service. You know, when all these naturally occurring weather-related disasters occur, one of the first agencies on the scene is the Natural Resource Conservation Service. Cosby is going to explain a little bit more about what you may not know about that agency on a Wednesday. So today is the 26th day of June. What can I tell you? On this day, back in 1945, the United Nations was chartered. On this day in 1906, the very first Grand Prix car race is held. Happy birthdays going out today to football player Michael Vick, actor Chris O'Donnell. He is 54 years young and the daddy to four kids. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. You can find that fantastic website there, or you can call them 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hoon from the Steffes Group back along with us. I don't know how in the world you guys are going to jam everything in business-wise today. This has got to be one of the fastest, busiest sales days I've seen for you guys since almost winter.
Yeah, it truly is. So we've got online sales scattered throughout the whole day. You know, Wednesday it starts off with our bi-monthly sale. There's actually four rings within that auction. You're looking at close to 1,000 lots. So ring one's going to be tractors and combines and ag equipment. Ring two is going to be an Iowa auction. Ring three is going to be transportation with trucks and semis. And then ring four is going to be tires and all the small stuff. So that we're just going to get started with that. And then for your listeners, 1 o'clock, we're doing a manure pumping auction with Bioresources in Missouri. A lot of pumps, a lot of tankers on that sale. There's a big frac tank. So the guys that are in the business with that, you're going to want to take a look there. 2 o'clock, we're selling a new home right out of Litchfield, Minnesota that the high school built. So there's an opportunity there. Take a look at that. If you got a spot in the country where you want to plop a nice little home down, that, you know, once you get wheels under it, who cares if you go 50 or 100 miles, right?
Very true. Very true. Now, you know, you give me so many of these item rundowns, and your team evaluates every item before you bring it into the auction?
Yeah, absolutely. So every single piece has the owner's phone number. It has the sales rep's phone number. We're looking at those pieces, no matter if they're still on the farm or in our lot. We can talk intelligently about them. We can tell you the good, the bad, the ugly, everything you need to know. And, you know, even, and then with our price app, you can kind of see what it's going to bring based on the history.
Well, and it's nice if I'm looking at multiple items that I want, I can just continue to kind of monitor it all online, can't I?
Yeah, truly, truly. And we've got a new website that's going to be launching here the first part of July that's going to make it easier for your watch lots than it already is. So good things to come.
Wow, excellent. Well, plenty of good things today. Again, that's Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group. Please remember that website, steffesgroup.com. It is going to be busy, busy, busy today with all of those independent rings with independent goals, I guess, as far as what they're offering. And don't forget, if you're starting to think ahead about a possible auction that you want to conduct, or maybe you've got items that you'd like to have in their next ring, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Check it all out online. Give them a call. Ashley Hune along with us from the Steffes Group.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
I really love the change-up I'm seeing at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke reminding you, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com, or better yet, let your nose lead you to the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Bavaria Sausage, more expanded hours. Their retail location open now Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays 9 until 1. And like I said, let your nose lead you. The old world flavors are in the air. And if it's time for a brat fry, they'll be outdoors sharing those smells and those flavors. And I like the change up there, too. They're featuring different brats, different sausages every time they hold that event. Follow them on social media to find out for the next scheduled brat fry. And like I said, the old world flavor stays intact, but be sure to pay attention to new flavors being offered all the time. Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. The chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service is in Wisconsin today. He'll be meeting with a group of community leaders in the Milwaukee area to talk about how the Natural Resource Conservation Service is encouraging urban agriculture. It's just one of the messages that I heard from Terry Cosby, chief of the NRCS. You know, one thing people don't realize about the Natural Resource Conservation Service, when natural weather events like wildfires or the flooding we're seeing in the upper Midwest happen, they're one of the first agencies that get the call. He explains how they mobilize once those calls come in.
When you talk about the fires in the West, when you talk about the flooding, hurricanes, and just these freak storms that are happening around the country, and we get a call, we go out, and we try to assist with that because there is a lot of property damage. Especially when we talk about watershed projects, we're talking about life and damage to property. And so we have been a jack of all trades, and we've been pretty good at it.
Well, and like you said, addressing immediate need and still trying to think long term on some of these projects. And like I said, maintenance. Does NRCS have maintenance programs to try to be ahead of that disaster?
You know, as we put these practices on the ground, we put those in. They have a lifespan, and we talk to producers about maintaining them because you have to give them care and over the years to make sure they maintain. Some, you know, last 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Right. And so we want to do that. You know, we do some follow-up with producers to look at the practices that they put in, especially when we drive by or we are on the farm and try to work with those folks, but long-term care is what is needed here. And then some of the practices, you know, are just an annual practice, and we have to look at that. You know, when I came in, we used to do a lot of rotation. Mm-hmm. It was a corn bean, maybe an oats, a couple of years of meadow, and long-term, that was great, but now it seems like we're in the corn-soybean rotation, and if you're not using some type of reduced till, you're going to have what I've been seeing on the road today as we've been driving around, where you're having some of this real and gully erosion that's happening, so we're going to have to get back to basics.
Just a little piece of my conversation with Terry Cosby. He is the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service. Another message he made very, very clear, they have job openings. He said, if you meet me on the street and we have a conversation, I may offer you a job. They've got much more work than their staff can handle. So there you go. Career opportunity if you're interested. Markets and overnight electronic trade, if you're interested, are a little bit stronger as we roll into a Wednesday. Right now, December corn currently trading unchanged, 4.43. November soybeans are up 3, 11.14. July wheat, that's a penny lower right now at 5.41. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 1.91. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and three quarters, 1.87 and a quarter. Double A butter down 3 and a quarter, still at 3.03 and a quarter per pound for that butter. July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, up 11 right now at 19.58. The August Class 3 milk, up 16, 20, 25, 100 weight. Going to be heading towards Blanchardville today. Our friends with Lele Robotic Milking are inviting you out to join them for an open house event. I'll be out there from about 11 to 12.30 if you happen to be in the area. You can also follow the activity and see the information that we post. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook or Midwest Farm Report, our new page on Facebook. I'll be using that as one of my tools to share the message from Blanchardville with you later today. And don't forget, follow us as well as MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a great place where you can sign up for our daily e-newsletter. It'll pop up in your email box every morning right around now, and you won't miss a thing that's happening in Wisconsin agriculture. Up next, more stories from the Sand County Foundation's National Gathering in Madison.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I've got a kid probably heading off to college in about a year and a half, and I'm doing everything I can to help her build her credit score. Now, one of the tips I was very excited to put into practice is adding my daughter as an authorized user on my most perfectly paid off credit card account. The idea here is that credit card companies report the payment histories of everyone with a card in their name, including the authorized users. That way, your kid benefits from your good credit habits and the length of your credit history, and gets a boost to their credit score right out of the gate. Now, the rub is that not all card issuers report all this info, so it's essential to check with your card and make sure they report. And remember, this goes both ways. Good credit behavior boosts scores, but any slip-ups like missed payments or late payments, that hurts them. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
With the Dairy Complex from Coast to Coast, hope you'll decide to join us. Charity Seebecker joins us now on a Wednesday morning. She's another one of the staff that was down at the Sand County Foundation's National Convention in Madison, where conservation leaders from all across the United States got together, many from some of those very challenged regions that have seen the wildfires, witnessed drought, and still persist, like her next guest, who is a ninth generation farmer on their land. Charity?
If you want a farming legacy to last for many generations, it's important to make sure you're taking good care of the land by using effective conservation practices. Bella Wood, ninth generation farmer of Ute Creek Cattle Company in New Mexico, shares her family success story. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And while Bella's not in Wisconsin, with over 250 years of the Ute Creek Cattle Company, the practices that they use there are still beneficial to us here.
I'm very dedicated to working with young people, specifically how can we bring young people who haven't got the land resources that I do back onto the land, and how can we support their entry into agriculture, whatever that looks like on the land, in policy, in science, whatever that looks like. So that's my drive for being back on the ranch.
So take me through a little bit more about the ranch specifically.
Yeah, so the ranch was 200,000 acres. And over the years, it has been smaller and smaller due to drought and bugs and Dust Bowl and all of those things that have happened over the last 250 years. But at this point where we are, we're on 14,000 acres in a population 4 town. So to give some idea of the remoteness, we're 47 miles from a gallon of milk. So things are working well. For a long time, we were a cow-calf operation. And actually, last year, we sold our herd. Because my grandparents were alone on the ranch, it did not make a lot of sense for them to keep doing all the labor. So we're now looking at a leasing operation specifically to stalkers. And it's an interesting time of transition. And that, I think, is what has made the ranch, the land itself, work for so long, for so well. And it's been wonderful to see that transition happen. Obviously, in agriculture, you have to be able to pivot really well. And it's clear that that's been what's happening. And we're trying to keep pivoting really well and make choices that are good for the family.
So then, speaking of that, what maybe are some of the issues or challenges that you are facing right now in New Mexico?
So the biggest one is the drought. It was funny driving up here. Here we're sitting in the car in a torrential rainstorm. I'm white knuckling the steering wheel, and my grandmother, who is 7 generations on that land, grew up there. It's like, oh, this rain, this gorgeous rain. And I'm sitting there white knuckling it. You know, this is a tough one. But where we come from, we measure our rain in hundredths of an inch. You know, we got 3/100ths, and we record it diligently in a notebook, thinking about how much rain we get. So we're always at the mercy of the elements, and it goes both ways. Flooding that happens here is the drought that's happening there. So that's a big piece. And then just trying to maintain practices that make it so ranches are sustainable, I think that's a very key one. And protecting producers who are trying to do the right thing, how do we make it so their bottom line reflects that they're trying to do the right thing. I think that those are two big ones. And obviously they go hand in hand. The climate is just, it drives us all. We're all on its ship.
So can you talk about some of the conservation practices that you guys do implement on your farm then?
Yeah, so my grandparents returned to the ranch after living for 40 years in Wyoming. They returned to the ranch 23 years ago. And over those 23 years, they returned to ground that was dust. It was as flat as a board, so it didn't have any nutritional grass on it at all. But they transformed that. So their first point was to get rid of all the salt cedar that was in the creek. So they fenced off 10 miles of creek, pulled, sprayed, and didn't graze in that land for 3 years. And it brought back the creek. There was no creek. Now there is a thriving riparian area. They fenced 23 acres of land and specifically put it towards bird habitat. And one of the key best indicators we have was in 2002, when they returned, there were 17 bird species. And our most recent bird count in 2022, we had 112. So to see that, right, what's good for the bird is good for the herd. I love that statement because it's so obvious. You can see that as your habitat improves and you're seeing more birds, your cows are fatter, your manure is going into the ground easier, all of those things. And then another really good one is we implemented the use of shade balls. So they're softball-sized balls that go on a drinker. So on a 20-foot drinker, 16,000 gallons of water is saved every year, and reducing 91% of evaporation off of a livestock tank. So with that, I ran some of the numbers. We've conserved hundreds and hundreds of thousands of gallons of water, and we're mining ancient water. We need to protect it. There's clearly, we don't get a lot of rain, so we have to really focus on that. And so those are some really key pieces, right? How do we maintain the land, the air, and the water? Because it is such a symbiotic relationship. That's where that comes down to.
That was Bella Wood of Ute Creek Cattle Company in New Mexico. Whether dealing with dry spells or passing the farm to new generations, her family's methods highlight the important rules for farmers everywhere. Using conservation and new ideas helps farms grow and last, protecting both the land and jobs for future families, no matter the challenge or places. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A Build Your Own Rural Neighborhood program today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has a mutual self-help housing program for rural communities. Joaquin Altoro is the USDA's Rural Housing Service Administrator.
It's a program that a nonprofit organizes families, like 10 different families, and all of the families help each other build each other's homes, and not one family can move into the house until all of the houses are built. So we realize kind of the efficiencies of everybody putting their sweat equity into it.
It's a program that offers grants to organizations that help groups of very low-income and low-income folks who are willing to roll up their sleeves and pitch in on the actual construction. Folks like Sandra Saucedo, who lives in Idaho.
No one house belongs to anybody until the last house is done, and so you have to work on all of them simultaneously so that when we move in, everybody gets their homes. So you have your home, you can't just be exclusively working on yours and then everybody to their own devices. Like, we are all working together on each home collectively as a neighborhood.
Funding is primarily for technical support and advisory assistance to participating families. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Remember WikiLeaks? Next up, we'll discuss Julian Assange, villain or hero.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.